Hey, it's Coach Kate here, registered dietitian and owner of RD Kate Sports Nutrition. As a member of the LCC Stars Athletic Department, I teach our athletes what to eat and when to eat it on training days, competition days, and throughout the year. For over a decade, I've been helping athletes of all sports and levels meet their goals. RD Kate Sports Nutrition offers individual consulting, team services, on-demand courses, and downloadable handouts. For more information, visit rdkate.com.
Hello, friends, and welcome to Coach Cut's Corner. Streaming bright from Michigan's capital city, this podcast is dedicated to helping you better understand the who, the what, and the why of mental performance, personal growth, and Lansing Stars baseball. Coach Cut's Corner, brought to you by Eyewash. And now here's your host, Stephen Cutter.
Welcome to the show. We've got a great episode today. Sitting across from me is my co-host, Coach Ryan Raddick. Welcome to the studios, Ryan. How are you doing this morning?
Oh, doing just wonderful.
Love that. Welcome back. And today's guest is one of our own, redshirt freshman pitcher Casey Gray from Boyne City, Michigan. Casey's journey represents what this program is built on: commitment, patience, and total buy-in. We're going to talk about his roots, his redshirt year, and what this fall has looked like as he stepped fully into a role with us. So welcome to the studios, Casey. Is it everything that you imagined?
It absolutely is. Thanks for having me, Coach.
Absolutely. What was it like growing up in Boyne?
You know, honestly, it was a great time. There wasn't a lot to do, but
it's a small town, right?
Very small town. Have about 400 kids in our school.
In total school or high school?
Just in the high school.
Okay.
So 100 kids in my class, and yeah, I enjoyed it. I played a lot of sports growing up, so It kept me really busy. I figured that was the best way, and I just loved to compete. So,
okay. Small town, not a ton to do, but yet it's a fairly large tourism spot, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So what part of your life did you get involved with sports? How early?
As early as I could. So like probably first grade for basketball, and then rolled from there. So I played basketball, football, baseball all the way through until about sophomore year.
Any soccer?
I did play soccer for 1 year.
How'd that go?
It went amazing. I actually statistically third best save percentage in school history.
Okay.
But
why'd you not continue? Because most of the time when people have success, they want to keep going with whatever they're having success with. So you're third best in school history and then you just walk away?
Well, that's not what I wanted to do. And I also didn't even take my own goal kicks, if that makes sense. So, I couldn't really kick the ball.
Okay.
I was just there to...
Because you were taught to throw a ball, right? Not kick balls.
Exactly.
So, you definitely played multiple sports, in which a lot of our student-athletes and stars play multiple sports. But do you think that background taught you anything by having the diversity and doing a lot of different sports and competing in a lot of different ways?
Yeah, absolutely it did. And a big takeaway that I think of when you ask me that question is for soccer, for example, I wasn't the starting goalie the first game. It actually took me like 4 games to earn the spot. And that was because after practice, it was my first ever year playing soccer. So I would stay after and I would work just blocking shots. And he taught me about where to line myself up.
Okay, and details then.
Yeah. So I've never sat. I'm from Boyne, so being on the bench, that was hard for me. I hated it. Didn't understand it, but I was like, this is soccer, and I'm sitting on the bench. But I grinded through it, and then when I got my opportunity, I made the best of it. And that just kind of aligns with all sports. Like
Ryan, did you ever play soccer?
I did.
Okay, what position?
I was also goalie and some defense.
I feel
defense.
Like we could have a competition and soon in practice for that.
A little bit of defense in midfield, too.
Did you kick your own?
Yes, okay. I could kick.
Was there a specific coach, game, or moment in high school that made you realize baseball could take you beyond your hometown?
Yeah, definitely. Huge standout moment for me. I have two. So one was tryouts.
What year?
Senior year.
Okay.
Tryouts. I didn't have the best team, and I took it really serious. Being on my throwing program, I was really locked in. Really different compared to what other kids were doing. What they saw, they weren't used to it, so... It was a great time, but I just remember doing my stretches and my mobility. And I remember a kid coming up to me, and he was like, why are you taking this so seriously? He's like, why do you think like you're going to the MLB? And I just remember like smiling at him and having some trouble thinking that, because I was like, I just want to win. I just want to be the best. So that was probably the first moment. The second moment was I was warming up for a game and I just felt money. Everything felt great. Plyos through my warm up, through everything, got on the mound, and I was electric, just like I thought I was going to be that day. I had 16 Ks, two hits, no walks, in six innings. And
wow.
Yeah.
You were named one of the top players to watch in your area. How'd you handle kind of the pressure of that?
I felt like when I got recognition, it was already to the point where I didn't need it, if that made sense. Like, mm-hmm. I didn't really feel the pressure because of all the work and preparation I was doing prior to that. Mm-hmm. Because how it kind of looked for me in high school was I would throw like once a week, I would start. And then, because I wouldn't go 105 pitches right away because I knew I wanted to keep my arm healthy. I also wouldn't play the field because I saw the vision past high school and I knew that I'm a pitcher and that's what I do.
Love that. When it came time to choose a college, was that an easy thing? Was there a lot of opportunities? Was there only a few opportunities? Did you do research or did you just kind of put names on a dartboard and throw it at them? You know, what went into that decision-making process?
Yeah, so I always knew that I was going to kind of be a JUCO route guy just because I was kind of late to the party on my development.
Is there a reason why you were late to the party?
Yeah, I would say really a lack of knowledge about pitching.
So it wasn't an action, it was a knowledge?
I think it was both, but okay. I didn't really like start using J-bands, just for an example, until like my junior year.
Okay.
And I never like was on a throwing program, legitimate throwing program, until senior year.
Okay.
So
what went into the decision for college?
Yeah, so the decision was ultimately pretty easy once I came here. I love this culture. I love this atmosphere. And I love the fact that it was a winning program. I did do some research and it was a stressful decision because I had a lot of schools contacting me at the same time. And it was like I was no offers. Then all of a sudden I did really great at this showcase. Then it was like 20 text messages in one day. It was like 10 phone calls in the same week. And it stressed me out a little bit. But I got to see who really wanted me, and I think that was the best part about getting to pick which school I went to. Because there was a school, I'm not going to name them, but I threw at their showcase, and I had the highest velocity. And I talked to him after the camp, and he told me that he's being very selective on who he's bringing in. And I wanted to go to this school. And when he told me that, I was just like, wait a minute. Like, I'm expressing my interest in you, and now you're telling me you want me to wait, and it's already like December. So I think that was a big eye-opening moment for me because when I came here, Coach Mo, he showed like a lot of gratitude. He was showing me everything. He did a great job on our visit, showing me the buildings.
That's what he does. Yeah, he's consistent with that.
Yeah. So that made me really want to come here because I felt like he made me see the vision and he made me feel like it was home before I was here.
And I think you used to listen to the podcast a little bit too, didn't you?
I did. I've listened to almost every episode.
Nice. Love that. Let's transition a little bit. Your first year here, you ended up redshirting. What went into that whole decision process and how did you approach it, more importantly, mentally?
Yeah. So obviously nobody wants to redshirt. Mm-hmm. I had some unfortunate circumstances like getting sick and losing 20 pounds. So when I came back and I started throwing again, it wasn't the same, obviously, and it was difficult at first, but then I realized that everyone goes through stretches where it's not their best or they're not at their best, and instead of beating myself up, I stayed super positive, and I saw the bigger picture, and I really looked at it as an opportunity to grow and just to get better, regardless if I was seeing those results in a week or not seeing them at all, because I knew what I was doing to better myself, and that's what really matters to me individually.
That's great stuff. You know, how did you stay motivated when you're watching pitchers or the team playing and you're not? That's a tough spot to stay motivated in. And typically what we see is you see a trail off for the guys that aren't playing. They stop working as hard. They still show up. They still do what they're supposed to do, but it's at a frequency or a capacity that's nowhere near 80 to 100%, you know? So how did you stay bought in?
Yeah, I stayed bought in because I know my goal for myself. So regardless of me not being able to play last year, I feel like that would be selfish for me to not try my best still to get better, because it goes beyond just the team. I know I wasn't getting on the field last year, but I still want to perform. I still want to be successful regardless of this year. So I did enjoy seeing the successes of our team last year and being able to travel. But something that really helped me was watching videos of myself when I was feeling my best. Not watching them all the time, but just when I would feel down, just watching them for 5 minutes, just seeing some clips. I have some highlights of myself, and that was really powerful for me. It was powerful for me to see how I was moving, how I was feeling, the energy I brought, all that sort of thing, and just understanding that it's going to be brighter on the other side.
And that's somewhat uncommon. I think, Ryan, you could, you know, spending time with us for a few seasons. I mean, when guys redshirt, you know, there's kind of a normal thing that happens, right?
Oh, yeah. They tend to check out or kind of their mind wanders elsewhere.
For attitudes, sure. Oh, yeah. You know, just the pity, yeah. You know, the more of the victim will, mindset will come in. Maybe they're hurt or had gotten sick or, you know, whatever it was. It's one of those things where it just, it's a hard thing to get through.
100%.
And then come back and be ready to compete. Mm-hmm. You're in your second year, your first fall season competing. What was your mindset coming back into this fall?
My mindset coming back into this fall was just executing pitch to pitch because I got to see batters again. It was great. It was super exciting. I wasn't worried about being perfect or necessarily shoving every single outing, although that's the goal. I understood it's still fall. And I'm not going to be where I'm at this spring. It's basically spring training for MLB.
Do you think your redshirt season helped prepare you for this fall?
I think my redshirt season helped prepare me mentally more than anything else could have. It was one of the toughest things I've ever been through, just mentally. And I was able to stay high on that. So I think that was a very positive thing for me to experience, even though obviously, if I could have wrote the page, I wouldn't have wrote it that way.
Yeah, always. What feels different this year?
I would say experience. I walked into the first practice this fall, not nervous, not scared, just excited to be there, excited because I know what it looks like, excited because I'm chasing the best version of myself, just like you guys are and just like the whole team is, and just excited.
Do you think you've had to make some adjustments to your daily workload now that you're being pushed differently?
Yeah, I've definitely had to make some adjustments, but I think it's for the better. I like being pushed because sometimes I feel like, well, I know that everyone thinks they can only do a certain amount, but they can actually do more. Mm-hmm. So sometimes I think it's super beneficial to have someone pushing you even further.
We have a lot of systems in our program. Is there a certain system, whether it's, you know, pulse, daily readiness, you know, whiffs, is there one that you think that's helped you most with consistency and, most importantly, confidence?
Yes. The biggest system of success I would say that has helped me with confidence is definitely journaling, meditation, and work on belief system. Before I got here, didn't really know what a belief system was or the grand scheme of it. And I bought into it pretty right away.
You did?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I have a lot of journals full, and it's cool to look back at those and just see what I was thinking then. And yeah, it's really night and day, confidence-wise, of when I came in here to now. Even though my performances on the diamond were much better when I was coming in here.
Is there a bullpen or a moment from this fall that everything kind of clicked at another level for you?
I would say explosive October, because as the week's gone on and I'm throwing the med balls, it's just I'm moving so much better. And it's really cool to see that these works over 4 weeks, just seeing get better and better each time I'm throwing the med balls, feeling looser, same intent, trying to throw as hard as I possibly can and just feeling smooth.
Would you quickly bring our listeners up to speed on what Explosive October was?
Yeah, absolutely. So Explosive October essentially just targeted us to be more explosive and a lot of like plyometrics, not throwing wise, but just...
Yeah, because you guys got a rest.
Yeah. Speed. It was no throw for October, which was beneficial because we were still throwing med balls, which really helps. And then we were also working on some movement pattern stuff for when we do get on the mound. So explosive October was great.
Okay. I got a question for both of you guys, and I'll go with you, Casey, first to give Ryan a little bit of a chance to think about it. When you think about buy-in, what does that mean to you personally? We talk a lot in our program, and we look for in our program people that are bought in. From a coaching philosophy, my coaching philosophy is to treat everybody, whether they're the best athlete on the team or the least athletic on the team, as best as possible, treat them the same. Stay really consistent with that. And what I grew up and how I was coached was the complete 180 of that. It was the players that played the best, had the best stats, they got treated the best, and the players that had the worst stats or didn't play the best got treated the worst. So my philosophy was, I want to change that. In that philosophy, instead of looking at stats and who throws the hardest or who, you know, has the best batting average, it is who is bought in and who works the hardest are the ones that get treated the best. So that's my philosophy. So when we talk about buy-in, what does that mean to you personally? I just gave you what my buy-in sounds like, but what's yours?
Buy-in to me means being all in, regardless of what it is, just trying to be the best you and being resilient enough to fail and get up and do it again and again and not be complacent and stay consistent, most importantly, through day and day and continue to stack bricks every single day. And I think that's what buy-in is to me.
Solid. Rhino?
The one word that comes to my head is trust. Yeah. I really believe that teams that have trust in their coaching staff and just following exactly what they say and trusting that they will put out programs and practices that will get you where you're supposed to go, I think that is what buy-in is and what it should be in our program.
Yeah, I love that. What parts of the systems have challenged you this year? I mean, I don't typically see you struggling to get your readiness tests in.
I would say sometimes the Pison tests.
Yeah, but you want to talk a little bit more about what that means?
Yeah, so we have Pisons, and we are required to test before weights, before practice, and after practice. And those tests are reaction time, so it tells you how ready you are. And then the other test is agility, which is basically go or no go.
Okay. And what makes that so challenging? The consistency of it?
Yeah, just being consistent with it, I would say that's something I need to do better on.
How has your role evolved inside the team this year? Because it's a little bit different than it was last year.
It's involved massively. I'm a member of Leadership Council this year. And what
is that?
Leadership Council is a group of 12 guys on the team. And we meet before every leadership. And we kind of get tools to help ourselves become better versions of ourselves and also be better leaders for the team around us.
And speaking training too?
Yes, speaking training definitely.
What do you hope younger players take away from your example?
I hope younger players are able to see the bigger picture and just try to be the best version of themselves, regardless of what anyone says or thinks or any of that, because I think the most important thing is what any given person is doing on a daily basis and who they are. And just being selfless and being a positive person and just bringing that energy every single day, which that's what it takes to be a champion.
What advice would you give high school players preparing to transition to college baseball?
I would give them the advice that it's not bigger than themselves and that they can do this. They got this. And they need to stay locked in, though, or they will get lost behind. They need to stick to their processes or make processes and stay consistent with them so they can stay ahead of the curve. And just be confident in yourself, because if you're doing what you should be doing daily, there's no reason not to be confident.
If you could go back and talk to your high school self, this is a question we've done in leadership through the years, but if you could go back and talk to your high school self, what would you say?
I would tell my high school self to worry about myself and stop worrying about external factors that I can't control and just look at myself in the mirror, because it's just me versus me. And that's the race I'm running. That's the race I need to be worried about. And that's really what matters. So that's what I would tell myself.
You're locked in. I love it. Ryan, what does Casey's story represent for athletes who are just starting their journey and maybe they don't know what they don't know?
He's a great guy to kind of have as an example.
To learn from, yeah.
Yeah, great guy to go to talk to about certain situations that you might have. And I know he's gone through a lot, and so it's been a privilege to have that smile around practice all the time.
Yes, for sure, and very much appreciated too, just because you are locked in. And what I like about it is your journey hasn't been perfect. You haven't been just, you know, the greatest person in the world or the greatest student athlete in the world. And I guess that's a reflection of everybody, because none of us are. But you're not afraid to show up. You're not afraid to give full effort wherever you're at. And sometimes that looks different. And in our program, we call that uncommon. And there's nothing wrong. It's actually encouraged to be a little bit different than maybe some other people. Because if you really care about something and you really want to get better with something, it's going to look a little bit different than to most people. So appreciate having you both in the studio again. And hopefully you've enjoyed your time, Casey. Winning fades, habits last. Excellence isn't a destination. It's who you become in the process. Thank you to everyone who continues to listen, share, and support this journey. Lead with intent, give more than you take, compete with purpose. We're all playing a game we can't win, so go all in and go Stars. Coach Cut's Corner is recorded live in the WLNZ studios with Dalian Lowry providing engineering and production assistance. Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed today's podcast, please share it and follow us on all forms of social media. Our program has been built and maintained with the help of many great people. If you want to be part of our mission, you can donate using the link in the show notes below. You can learn more at CoachCutter.com and more about our team at LCCStars.com. See you next time.